Can I have your attention, please? My name is Sonny Israel, Benjamin Alexander Hawks, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding receipts for Sabbath services.
Can I have your attention, please? Can I have your attention, please? Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel, Yahpila Hawkins, and I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. It is a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yishuv Leib now entering the sanctuary. It's my privilege and honor to introduce to you son Yishuv Leib Benaiah Agari.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Yishuv Leib Benaiah Hawkins. Please be seated. The title of my speech is The Mark of the Beast. What is the Mark of the Beast? In these last days, the reverence of Yahweh is so important. Why? Because our obedience to Yahweh and our willingness to be taught by Yahweh is what sets us apart from the world. In these last days, Yahweh is building a family and lasting friendship between us and Him like He did with Abraham, who was obedient to Yahweh. Abraham was called a friend of Yahweh. Turn over to Genesis 26:5. Genesis 26 and verse 5. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. We are so blessed to be able to reverence Yahweh. Look at the Mark of the Beast, chapter 17, page 320. Not many wise of this world and not many mighty or noble are being called by Yahweh at this time. In mankind's history, add to this number those children aborted or killed in some other manner. You will have millions upon millions of people who have never heard the name of Yahweh or His Son, Yahshua Messiah. You have millions upon millions of people who have never heard, like, the opportunity to prove themselves to Yahweh. We are being given this great opportunity to be set apart as holy, called, and chosen to do a great work. Look at the Mark of the Beast, chapter 17, verse 395. Those whom Yahweh is calling out now, on who will grow in His knowledge and understanding, will learn to love the law. They will love Yahweh's laws and practice keeping of Yahweh's laws beyond the letter of the law. We have a tremendous job to do, brethren, and when that job is completed, then the end will come. Let's continue to grow in Yahweh. Remember this: the mark of the beast is the mark of the beast is the Sundays and the pagan holidays. The mark of Yahweh's Sabbaths and feast days. It's Yahweh. Let's keep His feast days and the Sabbath so we build and keep the mark of Yahweh. And if you all please stand. It's quite great. I'll turn it over to Sonny Shabel, Yashin, for prayer.
Holy Father Yahweh, this is Deacon Yeshurun coming through the Y-Icons, Pastor Hawkins, and Shoes, and we do pray.
At this time, it's a privilege and honor to turn the services over to Son of Israel Abel, Deacon Barzla.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with you all. The title of my sermon today is Humility is the Foundation of Obedience. Humility is the foundation of obedience. We are told to the reverence of Yahweh is instruction and wisdom. We're told that the reverence of Yahweh is instruction and wisdom. And it is up to us to take that instruction with a humble attitude, even though we might not understand it at first. Okay? So if we don't understand something, it's best for us to go and ask about what it means. Okay? Because if you don't, then you start going on your own understanding. You start jumping to conclusions in your mind. Okay, so this person said this, and then he said this over here, so it must mean this. And then you go and you spread it amongst other people, and you lead them to error. Okay? So it's always important that the first positive character trait in the peace solution is getting educated. Okay? So it's very important to get educated. So first comes obedience, then comes understanding. There's the example in the scriptures of, I believe it was the Elisha. There was a man who had sores all over his body, or he had these ailments, and he came to the prophet, and he asked to be healed. And he was told to go bathe in the Jordan. And so he's like, he expected, the prophet to just wave his hand over him and, take these ailments away from him, but that's not how it was, okay? And his servant told him, if the prophet did do this, or if the prophet did, just take it away from you right then, right there, would you, or if he told you to do something like magnificent, would you do it? And so he says, yes. And his servant tells him, well, why don't you go do this? Because this would be a thing smaller than what the prophet would, what he hoped the prophet would have had him do. Okay? And so he had to humble himself. And because of his humility, or because of him humbling himself and listening to his servant, he was blessed. Okay, those sicknesses were taken away from him. And so that's the same way it is in the house of Yahweh today. Okay, if we're told to do something, and we expect to do something big, or be given a big job to do or something, and we're given a little job, then why don't you do that job? Because it might lead to something big in the future, or it might lead to blessings in the future. Praise Yahweh. So there are many examples throughout the Holy Scriptures of those who are obedient and had their faith and trust in Yahweh's plan, and were not only saved by it, but they were blessed for doing that. And Abraham is one example. Let's turn to Genesis. Genesis 26, verses 4 through 5. Because, this shows how people, men of old, sacrificed their own livelihoods or their own businesses or their own little setup they have just to serve Yahweh, okay, just to obey him, because service does mean to obey. Genesis 26, verse 4, it says, "And I will make your seed multiply as the stars of heaven. I'll give your seed all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Okay? So, we can't even count the stars. We cannot even count the stars. And the ones that we see right now, the ones that you can look up in the sky and see, that's just a little amount. Okay? Scientists can't even. They don't know how far the universe goes. Okay? And Yahweh promised Abraham that his seed would multiply as the stars of heaven. Okay? That is one of the benefits that came from Abraham, from him being obedient, from his obedience. So disobedience brings curses, okay? And in order for us to be disobedient, we have to have pride in us, okay? And we're told in the scriptures that pride comes before destruction, okay? So Jacob 3. Let's go to Jacob 3. Jacob 3, verses 13. That's found on page 945. Page 954, sorry. Page 954. Jacob 3 and verse 13. It says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show his righteous conduct by works done in meekness, humility, that comes from wisdom." Okay? So, meekness and humility come from wisdom. which means whenever we don't show weakness or meekness and humility, then we have a lack of wisdom because we don't know the blessings or we don't understand the blessings that come from that, come from humility and come from meekness. So let's look down to verse 17 and 18. It says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and righteous fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Okay? So that wisdom, which would allow you to be meek and humble, is peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Verse 18, "And the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Okay? So the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Peace can only be brought through humility and obedience. Okay? Yahshua was the greatest example of humility. Okay? And in order to be in unity with Yahshua Messiah, we must put down our pride, which doesn't seem easy at first because it's normal for mankind to just, you know, whenever you're told to do something, no, I'm not going to do that. I have rights. I'm going to stand up for my rights and you're not going to change my mind. It's very normal. Okay? And it has to be put within us so we can overcome it. Okay? The tests have to come about in order for you to overcome. So if you're not being tested or you're not being tried or, you know, things don't get hard for you, then you're not doing something right. You're not doing the right thing. Okay? Because you have to be tested in order. It's just like to see if you're a cook. You have to try to cook a couple of times or show your credentials or something in order for you to become a cook. You have to prove yourself. Praise Yahweh. So let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 6 through 8. That's found on page 922. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8. It says, "Who being in the form of Yahweh, did not think it was something to be seized upon to be equal with Yahweh, but abased himself, taking the form of a servant, like men being born." Okay? So this is talking about Yahshua Messiah. Okay? Verse 8 says, "And being found in fashion, appearance and conduct like a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death." The death of the sacrifice on the stake. So Yahshua was a man. Yahshua showed how manly he was, or how controlled he was in himself by allowing this to occur to him. He told the people who were abusing him, he could call down 12 legions of Malachim and get it over with quick, very quickly. But he didn't, because he understood the blessings that would come from him allowing that to occur to himself, from him allowing himself to be vulnerable. Okay? And he also recognized that it was Yahweh's will that was occurring. Yahweh allowed it to occur. And if Yahweh didn't want it to occur, it would not occur. Okay, he said, you know, your will, not my will. Okay, that is humility. That's humility. So in the first book of Ezekiel, chapter 12, page 49, the pastor says, Satan herself has spent years practicing to get this into people to where they will not humble themselves and do what the priests tells them to do. That's what makes it so dangerous, because they're cutting their throats to spite their bellies. They're cutting themselves off from eternal life because they hate the priest or think they're too high and mighty to bend themselves down and give a listening ear to the ones Yahweh sent to bring this perfect plan of Yahweh. Okay, so that is actually the character of Satan. Okay? Whenever we're prideful or we don't want to listen to the priest, or the priest tells us to do something and, you know, I'll listen to pastor, but I won't listen to this person because I saw this person doing this. You're actually being influenced by Satan and you're giving in to her influence. Okay? And blessings don't come from that. Blessings don't come from yielding to Satan's influence, because Satan, what does Satan have to offer you? Satan has to offer you death, disease, sickness, all this. But Yahweh has to offer you eternal life, the ability to raise the dead, the ability to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and things that we can't even think of. Okay, Yahweh has many things to offer us if we would just do this. Put down our pride and become humble. Okay? So an aspect of obedience that we must fully develop is faith, okay? But in order for us to develop it, we have to know what it is. We have to know what faith is. Hebrews 11. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 2. Okay? It says, "Now the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Okay? So, simply put, faith is believing without seeing. Okay? The evidence of things hoped for. Okay? So, for by it, the men of old obtained a righteous report. By this faith, or by knowing or hoping for what would come in the future, by knowing that if you do this, blessings come from that. By knowing that, it allowed men of old to keep fighting the righteous fight. And they will receive blessings for it. But they can't make it without us. So if we don't qualify or we don't become those people that we need to become, then all of creation is being hurt by it. All those in the past, all our forefathers, all these people are being hurt by it. So everything's resting on us in these last days. Everything's resting on us to get our act together and to become humble so we can be accepted by Yahweh. So skip down to verse 8. It says, "By the faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he would afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out not knowing where he was going." Okay, so he went into a land that he didn't know where it was. He went to a land that he was not familiar with. Okay? You know, a pastor has stood at this exact pulpit and asked us many times, how many of us are willing to sacrifice our lives for the person sitting next to us? Okay? Until we get to that point, Yahweh cannot trust us. He can't, the microbes or Yahweh cannot trust us with that power. Because imagine if we had our subconscious mind right now and our brother came and stepped on our toe. A thought could just wipe that brother off the face of the planet. Just a thought, just the wrong thought about that person could hurt him. Okay? We can't be trusted with that type of authority, because then we throw a planet out of whack and it would go and hit another one and kill thousands of people. Okay? This is why we have to qualify for these positions. Okay, so Matithiah chapter 21. Yeshua Messiah showed us one of the benefits that come from 100% faith in Yahweh. Matithiah chapter 21, verse 21. It says, "Yeshua answered and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to that fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it would be done.'" Okay? You'd be able to do that once you're trusted. Okay? Once you're trusted and you're proven to have that faith in Yahweh. In the sixth book of Israel, chapter 33, verse 41, pastor says, because he's got some offices to fill, and he says, "You're going to have to believe without seeing." And this is the only generation he's ever asked to do that. But he's telling you that great signs and wonders are going to go out where the deceived world is not. Not in his house. Don't go there. Don't even seek it. Okay? So this is we are the only generation that Yahweh has asked us to believe without seeing. Okay? To believe in what he's promised us without seeing what he's promised us. Because the children of Israel, they were thirsty and everything, and Yahweh gave them water from the rock, and look what occurred with them. Okay? Look what occurred with them. They didn't take it seriously, and that's why they went astray. So, for my closing scripture, let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 17. It says, "Obey those who have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And they, as they who must give account, do your part, that they might do so with joy and not with grief. For this is unprofitable for you." Okay? So it's unprofitable for you to do those things that will cause them grief or cause them trouble. Okay? Which means it's profitable for you to do the right thing. Okay? And that's why we should always do the right thing. Okay? So, in conclusion, brothers and sisters, let's humble ourselves in the sight of Yahweh, and let's strive more than ever to be obedient in those people that Yahweh wants us to be, so we can restore peace to this devastated and broken world and eventually the entire universe. With that, if you'd all please stand. I'll turn it over to the great Deacon Danny DePass.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you today. If everyone would be turning in their scriptures to page 507. 507. And before we start reading in this scripture, there's a reason why I kind of skipped on this chapter here, this verse. I was reading the book of Proverbs, and I actually recommended everybody start reading the book of Proverbs. It's a really great book. It has a lot of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and it clarifies a lot of the teachings for, you know, those who might have some questions on certain things that Pastor brings out. So Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14, this is found on page 507. And this will be the title of my sermon today. It reads, "A man's spirit will sustain him when he is sick, but a sick spirit, who can sustain him? A man's spirit will sustain him when he is sick, but a sick spirit, who can sustain it?" And the purpose of my message is a strong spirit in Yahweh. A strong spirit in Yahweh is sustained by pursuing the will of Yahweh. And that's a little bit what the great deacon before me was speaking about. So, speaking of that topic, a man's spirit, let's turn over to page 509, and this is in Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. It reads, "The spirit of a man is like the lamp of Yahweh." And when you hear the word lamp of Yahweh, what is one of the terms, or one of the scriptures that come to mind? Lamp of Yahweh. That would be Psalm 119, which shows the laws are a lamp to our feet. The laws are a lamp to our feet. The laws of Yahweh. So the spirit of a man is the lamp of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh, searching his innermost being. So we're going to be looking at that word spirit, and we're going to be looking at that word, the words laws. A person's spirit in the house of Yahweh is the keeping of the laws of Yahweh, the spirit of keeping Yahweh's laws. That's shown, if you remember, in Yochanan chapter 6, verse 63, which Yeshua shows that those laws are life and they are spirit to us. They're the things that we need to survive, more important than food, more important than water. Those laws are most important. And if you also remember on in Yochanan chapter 16, verse 13, this is found on page 833. It reads, "However," this is Yeshua speaking here, "however, when Yahweh's spirit of truth has come, it will guide you into all truth." So the spirit of truth, the spirit of the laws, it will help us and guide us in our everyday life. And I also want to get into a quote from Pastor. This is the 15th book of Ezra. It was a really great sermon that he gave. 15th book of Ezra, and this was a special presentation, Food of Spirit Holy, or Spirit Sacred. This is chapter 41, verse 32, and this is found on page 449 of the 15th book of Ezra. It reads, "Inside of your this body of yours, Yahweh," or he's "making you over and renewing you. Renewing your mind to where, hopefully, it will become just like Yahweh's, thinking nothing but righteousness, and therefore having a strong spirit like Yahweh has." And to also go into more on that, the spirit being the law, found on page 878 in the book of Yahweh, 878, this is Romans chapter 7, verse 14, It shows here, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I was carnal, sold into the power of sin. And that's something the Apostle Shaul was talking about there. But we all came out of a sin-sick world. We all came out of a world that was laden with sin, and it's so deeply ingrained with us, just like the great deacon was talking about. We have that pride that we have to get rid of. We have things that we have to overcome, but the laws are the only way that will help us to overcome these things. So getting back to what Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14 says, I would like to focus on that last part where it talks about, but a sick spirit, who can sustain it? We see that the same strong spirit that Yahweh has, and Yahweh teaches us from his house, is what we need to sustain ourselves during times of, you know, even like when we look into scripture, the times of sickness that a man's spirit can sustain him through those times, the same spirit of the laws of Yahweh could be likened to what we can use to sustain ourselves during tests and trials. So having a strong spirit in Yahweh's house helps us to join Yahweh in saving all lives, which is the will of Yahweh. That is the will of Yahweh. And let's look at 2 Kefa chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Kefa chapter 3, verse 9. And this is found in the book of Yahweh. 2 Kefa chapter 3, verse 9, it reads, Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish. And that's the will of Yahweh, that none shall perish, but that all shall come to repentance. And this is Yahweh's plan. He's putting it, you know, you can see with what he's done with Pastor Israel Hawkins. He has built a house of Yahweh, and he has this word of Yahweh broadcasting to the whole entire world with the prophetic words, with the newsletters, with the teachings that come from his house. And that's his will, so that none can perish, but all can come to the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of laws of Yahweh. That's the will of Yahweh. So following the will of Yahweh will sustain us during our tests and our trials, in our days of adversity. For more explanation on that, let's look more in the book, 1 Kefa. This is 1 Kefa, chapter 4. Verse 18 to 19, verses 18 through 19, and is found on page 960 in the book of Yahweh. It reads, and if the righteous are scarcely saved, where will the wicked and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit the keeping of their souls in him doing righteousness as unto a faithful creator. And that verse 19 is very important. Therefore, let those who suffer. We go through various tests and trials, and those things allow us to think about what we should do next. Should we focus on Yahweh's laws and keep Yahweh's laws and endure in righteousness, or should we go another way? And this is according to the will of Yahweh, if we keep the laws of Yahweh and practice righteousness as unto a faithful creator. So, you know, it is important to realize that our tests and trials are different in accomplishing the will of Yahweh. Everybody in the house of Yahweh has different tests and trials. Everybody in the house of Yahweh has different hurdles that they need to overcome. And we can see that very illustrated in the scriptures. For instance, Moshe, he was very instrumental in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. Obviously, Yahweh used him, and he had help and assistance with the high priest Aaron and Miriam. But Moshe had a uniquely difficult challenge to help bring the stiff-necked and rebellious people to this promised land. And this was a 40-year time period. And we can see all the complications that he went through. If you just look back and read the first five books, he had a huge challenge ahead of him, and he accomplished it. And Yahweh saw him fit to enter into that kingdom. The same thing we've seen with Noah. That was an amazing challenge. He had to build an ark for all of these animals according to the specifications that Yahweh gave him. Not his own specifications, the specifications that Yahweh taught him. And this was the will of Yahweh, that he followed each and every one of those specifications to the letter. Now, when he was following those specifications, Yahweh didn't want Noah to complain and murmur while he was building this ark and getting these animals. If you ever dealt with animals before, some big, some small, it could be pretty frustrating. But it was the will of Yahweh that he learned righteousness through that job, to bring those animals into the ark to preserve a remnant for the people of Yahweh. And those examples are what we need to learn from so that we can overcome our challenges and our hurdles in our lives. And we can see this all throughout the scriptures. We all have different challenges. We all have different things we need to overcome. But it's the will of Yahweh that we do so in practicing righteousness. We don't do so our own way. We have to do so in practicing righteousness. And we're going to see more on how we can do that as we proceed forward. So let's look at how we can keep a strong spirit and have the will of Yahweh in mind while we do so. You know, one of my best liked scriptures here, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and this is verses 16 through 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 22. This is found on page 930 in the book of Yahweh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 22. Let's start in verse 16. It reads, "Rejoice always." Rejoice always. And you're going to see a lot of these terms here that the apostle used. It seems almost impossible. How can you rejoice always? Well, through our tests and trials, we have to learn how to rejoice. We have to find ways to rejoice. Why is that? Because Yahweh called us to his house. And he called us to his house to accomplish this plan, to help save mankind, to teach repentance, to teach salvation to all of mankind. And that's not something that he told everyone in this whole entire world. You can clearly see with the confusion that's taking place in the world, there is a lot of people that are not aware of the laws of Yahweh. They're acting off of ignorance, they're acting off of darkness and sin, but we have the knowledge of righteousness. This is something we can use to improve our lives. So that's something that we should always rejoice in. Praise Yahweh. And this is back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. And yes, pray without ceasing. This is one of those things that sound pretty far-fetched. How can you pray without ceasing? Well, this is something that you have to keep in mind. Our solution to our problems is to go through prayer, to seek Yahweh's answers, to pray to Yahweh, but also to seek our counselors. All of these things are involved in these tips the apostle is giving us to endure, to build a strong spirit in Yahweh, and also to practice the will of Yahweh. Back in verse 18, "In everything, giving thanks, for this is the will of Yahweh in Yeshua Messiah for you." And, you know, pastor has talked about giving thanks for everything, a broken skillet, you know, everything that might not seem to be the way we want it. We have to give thanks for it. That's what Yahweh has given us, you know. And it's not a problem to ask, but make sure you give thanks for the answer that comes from Abel. And then also, do not quench the spirit. And this goes back into a strong spirit. Do not quench the spirit. Pastor shows in the 15th book of Yisro, chapter 41, that whole sermon, he shows how you can build a strong spirit by overcoming sin, by practicing Yahweh's laws, by studying, by constantly going to your counselors, different things like that. Also serving, servitude, and showing thankfulness for the blessings that we are given. Don't quench the spirit. Make sure that you build a strong spirit in Yahweh. Verse 20, do not neglect prophecies. And you can remember Luke chapter 24, verse 25. The prophecies are very important in these last days. We have to believe the prophecies. Do not neglect them. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is righteous. And I remember a priest going through this not too long ago, that proving all things, that's pastor's job. He proved all of these things to us, and now we have to hold fast to that which is righteous, the information that he brings out from the house of Yahweh. And verse 22, abstain from every appearance of evil. And we know pastor brings that out every single time he gets up here, Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. Don't be evil like the gods or even share their appearance. So let's look at an example of the will of Yahweh. Let's look at an example of the will of Yahweh. If you remember, the most honorable, most honorable teacher of righteousness, truth, and peace, the great high priest, Yeshua Messiah, he had a very special, unique job too. He still does to this very day. And he had to die on behalf of our sins so that we can have that sacrifice so that we don't have to die. And it was a huge job that he had, but it was very taxing on his brain. It's something that overwhelmed him. And what did he do when it came to the will of Yahweh? Let's look at that in Matithiah chapter 26. Let's look at verse 39. This is found on page 755. It reads, "He went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" Not as I will, but as you will. He always sought the will of Yahweh. And if you remember in Yochanan chapter 5, verse 30, he said, and Pastor clarified this, "I will of my own self do nothing. I will of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me." So just to reiterate in closing here, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. "A man's spirit will sustain him when he is sick, but a sick spirit, who can sustain it? A sick spirit that seeks its own will is not sustainable in the house of Yahweh." We have to constantly seek the will of Yahweh in order to be in Yahweh's house and stay and remain in Yahweh's house forever. So with that, everybody please stand. Yahweh bless the rest of your Sabbath. I'd like to turn the class over to a great priest, the great Kahan Nathaniel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Thanks to Yahweh. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you on this wonderful Sabbath day and forever. Today, I would like to take the opportunity to begin what could possibly be a series, and we'll see how it goes. But, you know, I was wrestling between two titles. One was Ahab Looses the Bands of Sin, and the other one was Love versus Ahab. Now, I just want to make sure that we're clear that the word Ahab is the Hebrew for the word love. And we've been taught to understand the word Ahab, or to utilize the word Ahab. And there is a specific reason, and that reason, you know, our great teacher was inspired to encourage one of the priests to bring out concerning that word Ahab, and to redirect our conversation when it comes to speaking to Father Yahweh or addressing Father Yahweh through our most Ahab, Yahshua Messiah. There's a particular reason why, and you know, it actually takes a lot to go over. It's like when Pastor explains to us how to keep the Sabbath day, and he's still teaching us how to keep the Sabbath day. You heard by one of the young deacons this morning going over, to keep the Sabbath day holy. We need continual reminders, and we're thankful for this. The topic of Ahab is like unto it. You and I have been, because we have entered the gates of the holy house of Yahweh and had the opportunity to sit at the feet of the great witness, we've been able to be taught about Ahab for many years. This world is filled with love. this house is filled with Ahab. Okay? And again, we do need to understand what Yahweh is doing, because when one of us says the word love, you know, we shouldn't jump down each other's throats and, you know, condemn one another for using that word. The intent and the purpose is, again, if you would turn over to page 566, let's look at one of the things that Father Yahweh uses. Okay, page 566. That's Isaiah chapter 58. This is Yahweh's intent for his people. Let's go to let's start at verse 5. It's actually verse 6, but I kind of want to give a prelude to it. It says, is this the kind of fast that I have chosen? The day for a man to afflict his body, is it only for the bowing of one's head like a reed? Or for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that all there is to your fast? And if you have the opportunity, read from verse 1, because fasting is part of the administration of Ahab. The keeping of the Sabbath day is part of the administration of Ahab. The keeping of the feast days and the subsequent Sabbaths are all part of keeping or that performing that administration of Ahab. But it says, will you call that an acceptable day to Yahweh, right? We can't lean on our own understanding as to what's acceptable to Father Yahweh. We have to be taught. We have to be led. We have to be guided. And that's what, again, you go back to what Pastor mentioned as to how we should address Yahshua Messiah. And all of these things came at the same time. Okay, all of these things came at the same time. But let's go to verse 6, because I don't... Let's go to verse 6. It says, is this not the kind of fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? These words in verse 6 can be applied to the reason as to why Yahweh saw fit, Yahshua saw fit, and our pastor and overseer saw fit to teach us of the word Ahab. When you go into the definition of the word Ahab, you're not going to find too much difference between Ahab and love. As a matter of fact, love is in the definition of the word Ahab. But you remember one of the priests identified last week, and Pastor said it many, many, many times, that the scriptures has to interpret the scriptures. The teachings of the house of Yahweh has to interpret what our life, how our life is led, guided. And there's a reason why Yahweh specifically chose this time period, that he should now drop it on our laps. Let's stop using love and let's start using Ahab. When you look at it, let's go over to the book of Ecclesiastes 5:19. Yahweh chose this specific time. And this is just for your notes. Let's start at verse 7. It says that there's a time for tears. There's a time to sow. There's a time to remain silent, and there's a time to speak up. A time to love, it says here in the book of Yahweh. But Yahweh chose this time for us to Ahab. Okay, Yahweh chose this time for us to Ahab. A time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And again, when you have the opportunity, read the first eight verses of chapter 3, because it'll, of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, okay? It'll, the world takes it, and because of how they've been taught to love, they say that, well, the scripture says that there's a time to kill. And then there's a time. It's kind of like the yin and the yang, right? You can't have light without darkness, which is a complete farce, a complete fallacy. But that comes out of the administration of love. Love as taught by the world. We now, our language is ahab. And the reason why our language is ahab is to untie the bands of wickedness. It's to untie the bands of wickedness. When a person says love, each and every one of us have an immediate physical reaction to that word. Instantaneous. Why? Because we've heard it our whole lives. And we've heard it our whole lives attributed to wickedness, attributed to sin. And now those of us who were born in the house of Yahweh and were not out in the world, you still have it in your genes. When you hear love, because your parents said, I love you and everything, and your parents were, you know, were still overcoming, still learning to draw close to Father Yahweh, still letting go of some of these concepts, if you remember the Jesus virus, still letting go of the Jesus virus. Part of us letting go of the Jesus virus is addressing Yahweh properly. Okay? Addressing Yahweh properly. And part of addressing Yahweh properly is identifying that, yes, we've been taught this fallacy of what true love is. You've been told that love is unconditional, but it's not. Love is not unconditional. Let's go over to the book of Nehemiah on page 392. Love is not unconditional. What? You're supposed to love your neighbor and love your enemy. Yes, you are supposed to, but love is not unconditional. There is a condition to Yahweh's love, okay? 392. Let's go, let's read verses 5 and 9. So 5 to 9. Okay, so this is Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 5. I said, I pray, Yahweh Father in heaven, O great and awesome Father, who keeps your covenant and your mercy and love with those who love you. Okay? Now, infuse the word ahab. Who keeps your covenant and your mercy and ahab with those who ahab you by observing and doing all your laws. That's the condition of Father Yahweh's, the keeping of Father Yahweh's laws. That's the condition of Father Yahweh's kingdom, whether or not to enter it. Whether to enter the kingdom or not to enter the kingdom is not just, you know, when Pastor gave us the difference between the idea that the Catholics have concerning mercy, which their idea is grace. Grace is a totally different system than salvation is. Okay? The way of Catholicism is grace. When you use that word, you're invoking an entire system. Okay? Come as you are. I will accept you in all of your flaws because Jesus did it all for you. Yahweh so loved the world that he sent. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. Because of how much, and Jesus died for our sins, so now we don't have any conditions to uphold. For we have grace. Right? But that's not what Father Yahweh wants wants us to have in our minds. We have to have the observance of Yahweh's law, the condition by which we will show ahab to Father Yahweh. Now, when we infuse the word ahab, it sounds strange. And that's so perfect. In every way, Yahweh is untying and undoing these binds or the bands that we put in our minds that we've been taught all of our lives. He's undoing these things. Okay, so now, when your brother offends you, man, you know, I feel like there's no love here. Now we know there's not supposed to be the worldly love, okay? Now we know that it has to be ahab. And what does ahab mean? What does ahab do? Ahab suffers the wrong. Ahab prays for those who spitefully use you and abuse you. Ahab does well. Ahab goes 2 miles when one says go. That's what ahab does. But ahab is wisdom. Okay, one of the things that you'll see in the Strong concerning the word ahab is, ahab is relating to the relationship between Yahweh and his people. That's what ahab is. Now, what did Yahweh say? Well, if you observe my laws, then I will be your father and you will be my people. That is ahab. When we go back over Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time for this, a time for that, a time for this, a time to be born, a time to die, and all of these different points. All of these things are encompassed in Yahweh's plan. Okay? Because Yahweh's plan is ahab. And I mentioned this previously, but just for your notes, let's go over to page 817. 817. Yakanayin, you've heard this many times, and I'm intentionally wanting to hit various points that the world, the idea that the world has, because you and I have to untie, we do have to untie these bands. These bands are things that really hold us back. Okay, they really hold us back from understanding. We've built relationships. You know, when pastor directed the priests to tell the congregation that, look, we're putting marriage on hold for the time being. It came at the same time period as Ahab. It's all in the same season. Well, why? Because Yahweh said there's a time for everything. And this is the time for us to loose these bands of wickedness. It's wickedness that when you think of Ahab, you all of a sudden think of a girlfriend. When you think about love. I'll address that a little bit later, because what we can wind up doing is perverting the administration of Ahab by transposing love onto it, transposing our idea of love, okay? So when we think about love, we automatically think of a boyfriend or a girlfriend or somebody who you have feelings for or, you know, these things that really are not in line with Ahab. Why? Because Ahab is a work. The scripture shows, show me your faith. Show me your love for the Creator by your belief. I'll show you it by my works. I will show Ahab for the Creator through my works. So anyway, let's go Yochanan 3 and verse 16. For Yahweh so Ahab the world, that the begotten son of the only father was offered. Okay? The begotten son of the only father was offered. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but will have everlasting life. That sounds different from the love that the world taught about what the Creator did for the world. Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his begotten son to die for our sins so that we could do whatever we darn well please. No, that's not Ahab. And there's no real foundation for love, for the love of the world. Right? If the love of the world is in us, then we're headed in the wrong direction. And this is why our pastor and overseer has given this directive. And you and I now, it sounds strange, I Ahab you. I mean, it doesn't roll off the tongue. It sounds very strange. It sounds very oaky. Okay? We have to allow ourselves to understand what Father Yahweh is doing, because there's a time for everything. There's a time and a place for everything, and Yahweh chose this time to bring Ahab. There was a lot of things that occurred in this time period that hit us right here. And, you know, are we going to stand for Father Yahweh? Are we going to allow our emotions to override us? If we do, that's love. You can't be emotionally driven and have Ahab. Okay, you can't. Ahab has to come first, then the emotions. The law has to come first, then the emotions, okay? Let's go over to page 896. And I want to open up, this is really just opening up this conversation, because, again, something to keep in your mind, that if we transpose the intent of love onto Ahab, we wind up defiling Ahab. Okay? If you transpose the intent, the idea of love onto Ahab, we wind up defiling Ahab. It winds up becoming something else. Okay? When you think about the relationships that you had out in the world, which was totally love. It was totally love, because why? You have crimes of passion. You have, if you feel disrespected, take up arms. Retaliate in one way or another. All of these things are aspects of the worldly teaching of love, of the Catholic teaching of love. That's what the Catholic Church has taught. That is okay. For Jesus, we can crusade because we love the Lord and Savior. And so we take up a sword and vanquish those who despise Jesus H. Christ. Right? All of these things are the wrong implications of what Father Yahweh wanted. Okay? The wrong implications of what Father Yahweh wanted. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's read 4 to 7. Again, these are scriptures that the world basically knows, okay? The whole world knows. They should know. But they have the wrong implications. They put the wrong intent, because they've been taught what love is. Love leads to war. Worldly love leads to war. We have to show them that Ahab leads to peace. Ahab is wisdom. Ahab makes friends out of enemies. Okay, that's what Ahab is for. Ahab is understanding. Well, let's go into it. It says here, verse 4. Ahab is patient. Okay, Ahab is patient. Ahab is kind. Look, each one of these words, there's a scripture, there's a worldly definition of what kindness is. Kindness in the world is when you see someone on the road with a cup in his hand and he's begging for money. Hey, he's stopping, you know, and the more you can put into his cup, the more holy you are. Right? But that is not Ahab. That is unconditional love. So a person can be a complete, drunkard, high on all kind of illicit drugs, but Jesus is going to save them. That is not Ahab. Okay, that is not Ahab. A person has to be educated. That's what Ahab is. Ahab is the entire plan of Yahweh. So when we look at, you know, that Yahweh so loved the world, right, that he sent his begotten son. The only father sent the one who he has begotten to die for those who would keep Yahweh's law. That's an example. That's an example to the entire world. So Ahab is patient because a wise man will be patient. A wise man will be very, the scripture says that a man's wisdom lightens up his face. He doesn't have that hard look, that hard exterior. And, you know, you see him first thing in the morning, and he's, you know, upset and frustrated already. No, but what wisdom does is it gives lightness to his heart. Okay? It opens him up to the inspiration of Yahweh through that peace. Kindness. Kindness is not a worldly concept. It's the concept that, yeah, paying your tithes and your offerings. We're in the third tithe year, about to come to the close of the third tithe year. You guys have been so righteously kind, it's to your credit. And it's in your testimony. Whether you're writing it or you're letting the microbes write it, it's being written. Okay? It's being written. We do need to write it, though. Ahab is not jealous. You remember Pastor brought out that Yahweh, in his 13 attributes, is zealous, not jealous. Because jealous, again, has that other connotation. It kind of it has a connotation of a level of savagery, okay? When you're allowed to be jealous, and in that jealous, you can throw yourself into a jealous rage, right? Again, let's untie these things. Ahab is not boastful. When we retaliate against our brother, seeking to, you know, in one way or another, to make him feel what I think he made me feel, that's a boastful spirit, okay? Ahab is not that. Ahab does not behave rudely. Each one of these words, we could have how many sermons on these particular points? Because it takes a lot to be considerate. It takes a lot to be watchful. But that's what Ahab is. Ahab is sacrificing your own feelings, your own thoughts, your own desires for the desires of your family, the family of Yahweh. Ahab does not seek its own advantage. Ahab does not seek its own advantage. Ahab does not cloak itself in a semblance of humility in order to exact its own advantage. That's not what Ahab does. Ahab suffers the wrong. If there's no suffering of the wrong, then Ahab is not having its perfect work. Ahab does not provoke. Okay, Ahab does not work up to irritation, just out of, and this is what you see out in the political field. Both parties just taking bites and, you know, poking and prodding each other just for no real reason. To them, they're advancing themselves, but there's no real reason as to why an individual should engage in such practices. Okay, not under the administration of Ahab. Ahab does not betray. Okay, let's go to verse 6. It says, but Ahab does not rejoice in iniquity. That's a whole nother story. But rejoices only in truth, under the conditions of truth. It does not betray. You know, in a moment of maybe not paying attention, you could betray your brother to the highest extent. And it might be, well, I didn't mean to, but Ahab is watchful, mindful, considerate, thoughtful, at all points. That's what the administration of Ahab is. And this is what Pastor is teaching us. Okay, you remember when Pastor brought out about atonement, that we need to bring forth atonement. Well, what did that mean? Bring forth atonement in our children. Bring forth children who could then teach others to bring forth atonement. That's what it was. And that's the plan of Ahab. Okay, that's the plan of Ahab. I want to go over these for, further points because we have to really dismantle the bands of wickedness, okay? So, Ahab never fails. Why? Because it's an administration. It's the plan of Yahweh. Ahab never fails because it's the plan of Yahweh, right? But where there are prophecies, they will be fulfilled. Where there are languages, they will cease. In other words, the things that divide people frivolously, the things that separate individuals, because you remember, speaking languages is actually one of the gifts of Yahweh's Spirit holy, right? But what it means is that we will have the same intent. So that language, the difference between love and Ahab is that differentiation. And once we have the practice of Ahab, we will, when we do, we are learning how to speak the same language. And that's what it's pointing out here. Yahshua said to those who spoke his same language that, you know why you don't understand me? Because you don't speak my language. But they understood. They wanted to kill him for saying that. They understood every word that he said. So it wasn't about the language that was being spoken. He knew that his actions were completely different from their actions. Where there is knowledge, it will be replaced by complete truth, okay? And we have to know the difference between the two. Remember, Pastor told us about the intellectual idiots, right? The intellectual idiots. Where there is intellect or intelligence, it'll be replaced. Where there is knowledge, it'll be replaced by the fullness of the truth. And that's where Ahab comes in, okay? That's where Ahab really has its place because, again, Ahab is that wisdom. The Ahab for Yahweh will cause us to study, to show ourselves approved, workmen who don't need to be ashamed, right? That shame is Bosheth. That shame is the mark of the beast. That shame is war. War is failure. That's what the peaceful solution teaches us. War is failure. The worldly interpretation of love is utter failure. Total failure. Death is failure. You remember Romeo and I think it was Romeo and Juliet, who both of them died. Maybe I'm getting my myths mixed up. I think both of them died, if I remember correctly. But that's failure. That's a fail. That's an epic fail. You and I are supposed to live. You and I are supposed to live, okay? We have to live. It says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. That, again, that is showing that we continue to learn because it's just recently that we just learned about Ahab. The difference between Ahab and love. Okay, again, the intent is that we should learn the parameters of Ahab. We have to learn them. We have to be, you know, intimately invested in it because it'll take away a lot of our grief. Oh, it's not fun in the house of Yahweh, and I'm so bored, and I got to find excitement. I mean, it's understandable because the scripture says that you will have peace, joy, and your life will abound. Okay? There won't be any more tears. You'll have all the excitement. But right now, we have to untie the bands of wickedness. Right now. And that means sacrifice. That means fasting. That's why I went over the... And when I talk about fasting, I'm not just talking about doing without food. Fasting from sin. Okay? Doing away, putting off sin, suffering for the sake of your brother. because that's an acceptable fast to Father Yahweh. And that is Ahab. Okay, that's an acceptable fast to Father Yahweh, right? That we consider our brothers and our sisters in everything that we do. So, of course, you know, you can think of all the scriptures concerning love. And when you implement the word Ahab and it feels strange, then know that Ahab is having its work in you. Because we're not used to it. We're used to just throwing around the word love. It comes out easily. Okay? And again, we're not condemning each other because maybe, you know, or possibly not, you know, that M-A-Y word. But we've been trained in the ways of love. But it's time through our language, because you remember, we have to get to where we're speaking the same language. That doesn't mean one speaks English, the other one speaks Spanish. And now we're going to speak Spanglish, the mixture of the two. No, that's not what it's talking about, so we can finally speak the same language. No, that's not what it's talking about. But it's talking about the language, the body language, the actions, the mentality, the thought process. That's what Ahab is. Ahab is getting us on a different trajectory than what we were on previously. The Feast of Agape, we say the Feast of Love. The Feast of Agape is actually the Feast of Ahab. If you'd all please stand. I'd like to turn the floor over to the great Kahan Kohelet Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. It's like I want to continue speaking on the same thing the great Kahan was speaking on right there. But it's great that he was talking about Ahab, the administration of Ahab. Because when you listen to everything that he was saying, you can see why Yahweh has this great plan. Okay, you see why Yahweh created this plan, why he created mankind. Okay, it was necessary for us to be created. And that's what we're going to talk about today, why we're in Yahweh's house. Okay, this true care and concern for life caused Yahweh to create this plan that we have an opportunity to be a part of. Okay, so when I think about the scriptures and the different men in the scriptures and the lessons in the scriptures, one, Yahweh gave us the Ten Commandments, right? And those are broken down into basically like two categories, right? And what are those two categories? Love, Ahab. Ahab Yahweh, right? That's the first part. And then the second part is Ahab who? Your neighbor, right? Your brothers, your sisters, right? And so when I look at the scriptures, when I look at the great men that were teaching Yahweh's way from the very beginning, I look at like Yeshua ben Nun, okay, for one. He was kind of like, in certain situations, he seemed like he got the crowd excited to hear Yahweh, right, the way that he spoke. You know how, like, when pastor's introduced, you know, we get excited to see pastor, excited to hear what pastor has to say, right? So this one situation, when I'm reading about Yeshua ben Nun, he said, you know, choose whom you will serve this day. As for me in my house, we shall serve Yahweh, right? And I could see the crowd like, yeah, praise Yahweh, yeah, right? That's how I see it. And Yeshua, when he was expounding on the two greatest commandments, he said, love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah, praise Yahweh, we shall do it. What's that second commandment? Ahab your neighbor, Ahab your brother. Kind of want to focus on that first one, Yeshua. I mean, like, one out of two, not bad, right? No. Okay, this great plan from Yahweh that he's given to us is so that we can truly learn how to show true Ahab to one another, to all of life. And if we're lacking in one point, then it's going to be just like Pastor was talking about last week when he said, I would that Yahweh would show us all of the dead planets. Okay, and that's pretty much the inspiration for this speech that I'm talking about today. Okay? And the great Kahan, he actually led into it excellently, showing how this true Ahab is necessary, okay, because without it, there's no life. And the need for mankind, okay, this great plan, the need for mankind, not as we are right now, okay, not as we are right now, but when the house is through with us, okay, when we become a priestly family, that's what creation is waiting for. That's what, you know, that's what life needs, someone that's going to guard and keep the way of Yahweh. But we have to allow this work, these laws, these teachings change us, okay? So if you'll open up to Titus. If you open up to Titus, page 941. 941. And so one of the questions that I want you to consider as we're going through this is, why are you in the house of Yahweh? Okay, why are you here? What does it take to stay here? What does it take to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh? Okay. In Titus chapter 3, starting at verse 1, it says, "Remind them to submit to their rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every righteous work, to speak evil of no one, not to be brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness, humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another." Okay, that was a condition that we were in when we were sharing love, right? When we were participating in the love of this world, right? And this is what Yahweh called us out of. Let's look at verse 7. "That being justified through his undeserved pardon, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and these things I want you to assert vehemently in order that those who have believed Yahweh might be careful to practice righteous works. These things are righteous and profitable for men." Now look down to 14. "And let our own people also learn to apply themselves to righteous works to meet urgent needs so that they will not become unfruitful." Okay, so Yahweh is showing us that there's a work that we have to do so that we do not become unfruitful. And part of it is taking care of one another, right? And this is something that we heard from the very beginning, learning how to serve one another, right? Showing true ahab, true can concern to one another. But remember what it says, where is it at? I think it's in Timothy. Try to find this really quick for you. Second Timothy. Nope. Well, anyway, it talks about growing in perfection, you know, add to your virtue, holiness, temperance, all of those things. And then, like in verse 11 or 12, it says, "But he who lacks these things will fall." Where is that at? Is that Kefa? Kefa? I want to read it because I just butchered that scripture. So I have to find it now. If you have a page, shout it out for me, please. 961? Thank you. See, this is what family's for, people. Praise Yahweh. Okay, so it's talking about, let me just go ahead and read it. Verse 5. "And also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance perseverance, and to perseverance holiness, and to holiness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness ahab." And praise Yahweh. All right, for if these things are in you and abound, they cause you to be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our King Yahshua Messiah. But he who lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And this is what we read just a few pages back in Titus, how we were hating and being hated. You know, this is what we partook in. And when we go back to conducting ourselves like that, we forgot that Yahweh called us to his house for a higher purpose than that trash. We forget why we're here. And that's why I want us to think about this through this sermon. Why are we in Yahweh's house? And if we continue on here, it says, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And in this way, an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our King and Savior, Yahshua Messiah, will be abundantly supplied to you." But you see how you have to build yourself, okay? You have to build yourself in order to be a part of Yahweh's kingdom, right? So why are we here? Again, we were talking about the problems that are in the heavens. When I mentioned what Pastor said to us last week concerning the dead planets, right? And this great plan of Yahweh, he created mankind and said, I will make man just like me. And they will have rulership over the cattle, over the fish, over the birds of the air, and all of these things, right? And we know that rulership isn't just, you know, governing with an iron fist. Part of rulership is guarding and protecting the way that Yahweh created things. That's a huge part of it. Guarding and protecting, right? Guarding and protecting. Let's look over to Psalms 82. In times past, Pastor has told us how when we don't guard and protect, we end up with things like mad cow. Okay? Who in their right mind would think that it's okay to feed a cow another cow? You see? So you see why there's a need for people that Yahweh can trust, right? And that's what the house is doing. The house is building people, okay, so that we can be trusted, so that the universe can trust us. And this is what this was the job of every trumpeter, every malik over every era of the house of Yahweh. That was that person's job, right, to call people to the house and train them to become priests, a part of the priestly family. That was their responsibility. Every era of the house of Yahweh, Yahweh was showing, I can call people out of this time period, give them my laws, and they will overcome the condition that they're in. Okay, and it was a job of that malik to bring this information. So as we read Psalms 82, I want you to look at or try to picture Yahweh actually standing in the assembly of the gods and explaining these things to the gods. Okay, I want you to think about Moshe when he was dealing with the people, you know, not just in Egypt, but when he was dealing with the children of Israel. Think about Yeshua when he was dealing with the people and the multitudes and the apostles. Okay, just think about all of the different levels that we could think of concerning what's going on right here. It says, Yahweh stands in the assembly of the gods, and he gives judgment among the gods. Yahweh says, how long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the sinners? So we see here that this is not what Yahweh was teaching. He was teaching against these things. You should defend the weak and fatherless. You should maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. You should rescue the poor and needy and deliver them from the hands of the wicked. Okay, so again, Yahweh's correcting their character, right? So what we see in the world today with the global wars and things like that, you know, this country fighting with this country over resources or whatever it is, we have to look and see what's going on in the heavens, okay? Because these things that we see on earth, okay, if we're not considering what the scriptures are showing us, then we're going to be blind. We're not going to understand why we're truly in the house of Yahweh, okay? We have to understand why we're here, okay? In the heavens, you know, we know that there are wars in the heavens. We know that the galaxies collide. We know all of these things. But why? It's the same thing that we see on earth. Remember, Pastor told us about the farmer who said, I'm not greedy. I'm not greedy. I just want the land next to mine. So when is that going to stop? Right? No. Now he has this land. No, I just want the land next to mine. Next thing you know, he has the whole earth. And then what? Oh, I just want the planet next to mine. Right? He who seeks after silver will never be satisfied with silver. This is an attitude that we have to get out of us. And these are the things that are goes on in the heavens. Okay? The misery, the destruction from greed, all of these things that Yahweh's trying to get out of us in his house. Okay? In his house. So look at verse 5 here. You know nothing. You understand nothing. You walk about in darkness. And again, we know that in darkness, there's misery, there's death, there's destruction. But what do all of that come from? False doctrine. False doctrine. It's the teachings that leads to these things, right? Remember, the sons of Yahweh left the habitation of Yahweh, right? They left the house of Yahweh. They left Yahweh's teachings. And now Yahweh's saying, look, how long are you going to continue to conduct yourselves like this? You're not taking care of the needs of the people. Well, we just read in Titus where it says, look, if you want to be profitable, then you have to take care of the needs of others. You have to take care of the needs of others. Right? So Yahweh established his house and said, look, I'm going to make man. And they're, when I'm done with them, they're going to be just like me. I'm going to be able to trust them. And wherever they go, they're going to guard and keep this way. They're going to protect those who need protecting. They're going to speak out for those who need a voice. Okay? This is what we're trained to do, or what we're training to do. And so he says, you walk about in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are shaken because of you. Now, there's a lot of information in that part right there. Okay, so I have some definitions that I wrote down here. Yes, they're handwritten. And the first word here is foundation. Okay, foundation. And the first definition is the act of founding or establishing. Well, we have to know what those words mean, right, to understand that aspect of the definition there. The next definition is that on which anything is founded and by which it is supported or sustained. Okay? That which something is founded and by which it is supported or sustained. Now, the first part was the act of founding or establishing. So the word establish means to settle or fix firmly, make stable or permanent. It means to set up, found as an institution or business, to set up, install oneself or someone else in business or in a position. And the word found, it means to lay the foundation of, to establish on a foundation or basis, to found or build a college or family. Okay, to found, like to found a family, to build a family. And so when you go back to the first definition of the word foundation, the act of founding or establishing, you can put in there the act of building a family, right? The foundation, the act of building, it's actually talking about the work that goes into building a family. Okay, so when we look at this scripture here, when we look at this scripture, Psalms 82, it says, the foundations of the earth are shaken because of you. And you think about this plan of Yahweh, we see that the work that Yahweh is doing to build a family is shaken because of the false teachings. But in Yahweh's house, he's trying to undo. He is undoing those things that we once learned, right? Because remember what we were when we read it in Titus about the deceiving, the lying, the living according to our own lust and pleasures. But then we came to Yahweh's house, right? Then we came to Yahweh's house and we realized that, oh, through the teachings, that's not what Yahweh expects from us. Okay, that kind of behavior does not lead to peace, joy, and abundant living. Those are the things which leads to death. So these false teachings here cause us to walk about in darkness, okay? It's actually disrupting what Yahweh created from the very beginning. But again, this great plan that Yahweh set in motion, you know, shows that Yahweh does have this true care and concern, this ahab for life. And this is why he says, I'm going to make man just like me. Okay, there's a need for a priestly family. There's a need for people that I can trust to guard and keep this, or there's going to be more dead planets, right? It's going to continue until there's no life. It could, right? And if Yahweh didn't care, then he would just let it take place. But Yahweh said, look, my laws will change the hearts and the minds of people, and there will be peace during abundant living because Yahweh's desire is to have a family. Remember Yahweh said in Yekeskia 18, he says, why should you die? Right? Why should you die? He doesn't have any desire or any pleasure in seeing the wicked die, but that they would turn to righteousness and live. Yahweh doesn't have any pleasure or joy in death. He's the father of the living, right? He's the father of the living. And so this is the will of Yahweh, which the deacon was speaking of earlier, that we live. Okay, and the Kahan mentioned it. We're being prepared to live. So we have to have the same will of Yahweh, okay, living. And so what leads to life? These teachings that come from his house, right? And it's very necessary that we adhere to all of the things that's taught at Yahweh's house. In fact, let's see, where is it? I think it's in second Yochanan, because the apostles actually spoke. 2 Yochanan verse 10, it says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not accept him in the house of Yahweh there, nor welcome him. For he who welcomes him is a partaker of his evil deeds. So why are they being so strict with what we can and can't listen to? Well, because if we allow those things to disrupt what Yahweh is doing, then guess what? You know, we're going to lean on our own understanding. You know, we're going to start being deceived by our own hearts and thinking that, well, this isn't right, that's not right. And next thing you know, more dead planets. Okay, that's what these things lead to, right? So it's like, don't listen to that trash, right? In Galatians, is it Galatians? Let's see. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, the Apostle Shaul actually speaks more on this subject. He says, but even if we or a malak from heaven should preach a message other than what we preach to you, he shall be accursed. Okay, who knows what accursed means? It simply means cursed. He'll be cursed. If you teach something different, you'll be cursed, right? Will you be cursed for doing something righteous? Oh, the scripture says a curse causeless will not come, right? But if you teach different than what Yahweh is showing you, then we're going to bring curses upon ourselves, right? Look at verse 9. As we have already said, so I now say again, if a man preaches any message to you contrary to or different from what we have received from us, he shall be accursed, right? Cursed. And if we, and like we just read in 2 Yochanan, if we listen to that, then we're partakers in that foolishness and we're going to receive the same curses. Why not believe what the scripture says when it says receive a prophet and receive a prophet's reward? Okay? That's the side that I want to be on. Okay? That's the side we all should want to be on, not this side here. Well, you know, this is my friend and what he said is true because I've seen it in him. Yeah, well, you can both burn in hell. That's the judgment. You can burn in hell with that, right? So we have to be very diligent in building this family of Yahweh, okay? Because it's a great plan that Yahweh established so that we can have life. Let's look over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Right? So dealing with this word foundation, okay? Building a foundation. We're all tasked with building on this foundation. In fact, let me turn to this other scripture first. Hold your places there, but look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. It's on page 917. So we're going to start at verse 19. It says, Therefore now you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the house of Yahweh, and are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yahshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone. So this is our foundation, right? Yahweh established his house and is on the teachings of the prophets and the apostles. And Yahshua Messiah being our high priest, he is the chief cornerstone. But when we read and when we continue to read what the sons of Yahweh, the children of Yahweh did, they took upon themselves certain character traits and they made themselves gods. They raised themselves up above others. And as we read, they didn't defend or protect those who needed defending and protection. Okay? But here, that's not what Yeshua taught. That's not what the apostles taught, okay? Which is our foundation. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 on page 888, we'll start in verse 9. It says, for we are the laborers together of Yahweh. You are the tillage of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. According to the mercy Yahweh has given me as a wise chief architect, I have laid the foundation and another builds upon it. But let every man be careful how he builds on it. Okay? It's our responsibility to build the house of Yahweh, okay? Not with hands. Okay? He's not talking about actually, you know, going to Lowe's and buying 2x4s and so on and so forth. Okay? It's not that kind of building. Okay? For no other foundation can anyone lay than which is already laid, Yahshua Messiah. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Okay, so through much tribulation will you enter into the kingdom of Yahweh, right? It's necessary to show what we're made of, what we're going to stand up for. How far are we willing to go to guard and protect Yahweh's way? If I can't tolerate my brother, then how am I going to guard and protect the entire universe, right? We have to learn to get along. We have to show true care and concern, true aha for one another, okay? This is part of learning how to guard and protect life. And this is what all of creation is waiting for us to actually cheer for the second greatest commandment of all, not just the first one. All right, which one is that one again? I'll have your neighbor, your brothers, yourself. We're not there yet, right? Y'all are still working with us. We'll get there. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will sustain a loss, though he will be saved, as it were, saved in order to be burned. Do you not understand that you are the house of Yahweh, and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwells in you? If anyone defiles the house of Yahweh, he will be destroyed, for the house of Yahweh is holy, which you are. Okay? So we're holy unto Yahweh, and Yahweh's building us up, right, to be able to contain his laws within us. Like, remember, right now, can any of us actually stand in the presence of Yahweh? No. Why is that? We'll be consumed by his glory. We're not able to stand in the presence of Yahweh. We're not ready for that yet, right? And we never will be unless we allow these words to change us. Look at, I just turned from Corinthians. I want to look at something else in Corinthians really quick here, right, concerning that there, right? Being able to stand in the presence of Yahweh, being able to see Yahweh face to face. 1 Corinthians, let's look at chapter 15, verse 45. Okay, 1545 on page 899. Okay, so, well, actually, I'm going to go up a little bit. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Okay? The first man, Adam, became a living being. Now, again, remember what we read in Titus, right? Our condition, hating and being hated, okay, living those types of lifestyles, you know, arguing with one another, backbiting, gossiping, all of these different things, right? That's the first man. That was us, right? But then it says, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit, okay? This is what takes place when we come to the house of Yahweh, if we allow the words of Yahweh to change our hearts and our minds, okay? And this is how Yeshua is right now. He's actually a life-giving spirit, a spirit being. In fact, where is that? Yochanan 6? Is it 6? Or is it 4? Okay, Yochanan 4, verse 24. It says, Yahweh is a spirit being. Okay, Yahweh is a spirit being, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, and so when we learn to truly worship Yahweh, like the Kahan was mentioning in front of me about this Ahab, this administration of Ahab, showing true care and concern, we could become a spirit being just like Yahweh, the second Adam, okay, a life-giving spirit being, right? And this is what we're training for. That is amazing. I was worried about, like, being really short, and I ran out of time. But I think everyone gets the point here, though, right? This, praise Yahweh. So I'm going to kind of try to sum it up. Because again, the whole purpose for this message was for us to really consider why we're in the house of Yahweh. We're not in the house of Yahweh because we received a flyer or we saw a pastor on the television or we read a prophetic word. Those are just the ways that we receive the information. Those are just the ways that Yahweh called us to his house. The reason that we're here, okay, the reason that we're here is so that we can guard and protect what Yahweh has created, right? That's why we're here. We're here to receive the training that's necessary to be a priestly family. That's why we are here. And it's necessary, it's extremely necessary that we help our children understand these things, okay, because we chose to come out of the world, okay? We have life experiences, so we know now, we know why we're here. We know why we left the world. But the children that were born here, they don't have those same experiences. So in the day-to-day grind, the day-to-day hustle and bustle, you know, we can forget about the children, expecting them to know what we know. It's not true. They don't know what we know. Okay, they don't know what we know. We have to tell them what we know, which means we have to diligently teach the children. That word's there for a reason. Okay, they don't know what we know. And so we have to explain to them, yeah, you were born in the house. I know you didn't choose to be here, but here's the information. You're old enough to understand these things. Let's make a choice. Let me help you make an informed choice on why you're in Yahweh's house, why you should be honored that you were born in Yahweh's house. But if we don't communicate this information, we're going to lose our children, right? We have to guard and protect the children, right? Guard and protect all life. So it's necessary, you know, that that we do the lamplight with the children. It's necessary that we do, you know, that we read the laws with them, that we rehearse the sermons, that we get them involved in the classes and not just prepare for the end. You know, we've been doing that for 40 years, you know, preparing. Oh, we got to get food. We got to do this. We got to do that. You know, you hit the snooze button one time, you know, and you wake up, your children grown. You overslept. Life didn't pass you by. Like, oh, man, you grown. When'd you do that? Man, they grow up so fast. Yeah, well, I'm leaving. Why are you leaving? Where were we at as parents? Right? Where were we at as parents? We cannot forget our children, right? Again, we know why we're here. And, of course, we have to prepare and all of these things. But the children are a huge part of Yahweh's work. Huge part of Yahweh's work. We can't forget about the children. All right. Yahweh, bless your understanding. If you'll all please stand, I'll turn it over to the great Kahan, Levi Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. If you would, turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, we're going to get right into it this morning. And I'm going to start reading from verses 5 through 9. And this is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And a voice came out of the throne saying, "Praise our Father, all you his servants, you who reverence him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, Yahweh, for Father Yahweh Almighty reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And the house of Yahweh, all the virgins who have been chosen, have made themselves ready. And to them was granted that they should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." And he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of Yahweh." So this is something that we in the house of Yahweh can all look forward to, this marriage supper. We do have that invitation, and we are in the process of making ourselves ready for this great event. And, of course, in verse 8, it shows that to them was granted that they should be arrayed in fine linen. And it's approximately a year ago that pastors started bringing out about the linen robes, and why we need to have this linen, and showing that we were granted the opportunity to wear this linen. So I'm going to read from the 19th book of Israel. This is chapter 24, verse 38. And pastor says, look at Revelation 19:8. "And to them was granted that they should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." It doesn't say forget about the linen and just be righteous. It says you are to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. You know, the words clean and white, it could also be pure and bright if you look into the meanings of the words there. Because the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And notice what Pastor says. It carries the righteous waves, the frequencies, with our signature attached to it throughout the heavens right now. And Pastor went into a lot of detail concerning the frequencies that we all give out, our signature that is going to the heavens at this time. Reading another quote from the 19th book of Israel, this time chapter 27, verse 39. And it says, the heavens know what you're going to do because they know Yahweh's plan, because Yahshua has been presenting it to them for a number of years. He had to train for 2,000 years to represent us. And keep that in mind, that Yahshua had to train for 2,000 years to represent us. And now the time is here. Here's my house. In the last days, I will establish my house. And we are the established house of Yahweh at this time. Notice the part that is underlined. He's also taking in your records because your records are now flowing to him. Everyone here, you're not hidden anymore. It's being granted that you wear this linen. So our records, the things that we have done, the things that we are doing, it's all flowing to Yahshua. Here's another quote from the 19th book of Israel, chapter 27, verse 44. It says, we are getting ready for this feast. It's granted that we should wear this. We should wear this linen, which takes you in direct contact with Yahshua. Now pay attention to what Pastor says here. We should wear this linen, which takes you in direct contact with Yahshua, and he takes you in direct contact with the heavenly court. This court is going to accept you. The universe is waiting. As one of the apostles said, they are waiting to see who you are, the ones who Yahweh chooses. You are his chosen brothers and sisters. You are his chosen, the sons and daughters of Yahweh. So we are being placed in direct contact with Yahshua, who has taken us before the heavenly court. And recently we had that two-day trial, the trial of the careless weed and of the grasshoppers. But this is part of the wearing of the linen. This is part of what we need to have, the robes of righteousness or the righteous robe and the linen. And then the scripture shows that this is, you know, it has to be in a certain way. Now, again, all of this is in preparation for the marriage supper, and there is something else that we need to wear besides the linen. You know, and Pastor identified this in the 18th book of Israel, and reading chapter 19, verse 11, and he says, this is what you're training for. You won't get it without that white garment. And he says, I won't embarrass you, but I was going to ask everybody to hold up their hands if they knew what that white garment consisted of. Now, at the time Pastor asked that question, the first thing that came to my mind was righteousness. So if I was in the audience at the time and I wanted to blurt out an answer, I would have said righteousness. But he says, don't embarrass yourself. I would have embarrassed myself because that wasn't the answer that he gave. The white garment, believe it or not, is nothing else but humility. He says the white garment is nothing else but humility. And he says, if you don't have that humility, you don't have that white garment, and you'll be kicked out even if you follow the crowd in. Even if you follow the crowd in. And this is something that, you know, I remember when Pastor brought this out and you know, last year on the Day of Atonement, having some time on my hands, and I decided to look up humility. You know, did a search in the Yisrael Says program and just read through everything that is said about humility, because it is really that important. If you're going to be kicked out, if you don't have it, then you need to understand what it is so that you could have it, so that you'll be found to be acceptable before Yahweh and you could participate in that marriage supper. Now, concerning humility, and this brings me to the title of the sermon, which is Be clothed with humility. Be clothed with humility. So, this is what Pastor says about humility. And again, reading from the 18th book of Israel, chapter 5, verse 10, he says, humility is what you want. It's a quality, a state of mind and heart, of being humble to the work that Yahweh himself inspired his prophets to write about. And then chapter 5, verse 16 from the 18th book of Israel, humility, a state of mind. This is shown in the scriptures, state of mind and heart. You got to love or have Yahweh with all your mind and all your heart, being humble to the work. Yahshua said, this is the work that you believe into the one sent. This is the work. You have got to humble yourself to that work as Yahshua himself did. This is the first step to a place in Yahweh's kingdom, humbling yourself. And of course, the emphasis is humbling ourselves to the work. That is what true humility is. We'll get into some of the definitions, but I want everyone to remember that it's humbling ourselves to the work. And of course, this humility, as stated by Pastor, this is a state of heart and mind. And it's something that we must be clothed with, something that we must be invested with, something that we must wear. Turn to 1 Kefa chapter 5, reading verse 5. 1 Kefa chapter 5, reading verse 5. And it states, in the same way you younger submit yourselves to those who are elders. Yes, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For Yahweh resists the proud, but gives mercy to the humble. So it tells us that we need to be clothed with humility. And if you look here, so let me bring this down just a little bit. So it's taken from, this is the King James Version here, and it has the word humility, which is word number 5012. And then further on it shows that, this is reading from Strong's Greek dictionary. It says, that word humility, it means humiliation of mind, that is modesty, humbleness of mind, humility of mind, and lowliness of mind. And again, it's of not just your mind, but also of your heart. It's a state, it's a condition. And then in Thayer's Greek English lexicon, the same word, number 5012, it says, the having a humble opinion of oneself, a deep sense of one's moral littleness, modesty, humility, and lowliness of mind. And again, it's an attitude, it's a character that is being described here. But bear in mind that this is in relation to the work of Yahweh, in relation to the work of Yahweh, because that's what truly matters. So word number 5012, keep wanting to say 512, but it's 5012. It comes from 5011 and from Thayer's Greek English lexicon. It means not rising far from the ground. And if you consider what we are made of, as Genesis 2:7 tells us, what are we made of? Yes, of the dust of the earth. We are made from the dust of the earth, not rising far from the ground. Metaphorically, as a condition, lowly of low degree, lowly in spirit, humble. And word number 5011 is the definition for that word humble. So it's telling us here in 1 Kefa chapter 5 that we must be clothed with this attitude, this state of heart, this state of mind, being subject to one another. And this word clothed, it's 1463. And it means to gird, to engirdle oneself for labor. That is, figuratively, the apron being a badge of servitude. To wear, in token of mutual deference, be clothed with. And this word clothed here occurs only one time within the entire scriptures, and that's in this particular verse that we're reading here. But this is something that, as you could see, it's what we are being clothed with, or what we have to put on as an apron, as a badge of servitude, is humility, humbling ourselves to one another in the work of Yahweh. It's a token of mutual deference, to be clothed with. I'm going to read from Albert Barnes' commentary concerning this verse, 1 Kefa chapter 5, verse 5, where it says to be clothed with humility. And it says the word here rendered be clothed occurs nowhere else in the New Testament. It is derived from, and then it gives the Greek word, it's a strip, string, or loop to fasten the garment, and then the word refers to a garment that's fastened with strings. And of course, this is something that we do at the house of Yahweh when we have the family meals and so forth. And in different aspects of the work, you put on that apron and you have it tied behind you in servitude to one another. So it says the word refers particularly to a long white apron or outer garment that was commonly worn by slaves. There is therefore special force in the use of this word here, that word clothe, as denoting a humble mind. They were willing to take, speaking of the ones who are clothed with this humility, they were willing to take any place and to perform any office, however humble, in order to serve and benefit others. They were not to assume a style and dignity of state and authority as if they would lord it over others. And this is something that, you know, when you get into the word pride, that's the attitude of wanting to lord it over others instead of wanting to serve others. So it says that as if they would lord it over others, or as if they were better than others. But they were to be willing to occupy any station. And that's basically to do any work of the work of the house of Yahweh. Be willing to occupy any station, however humble, by which they might honor Yahweh. And this is part of honoring Yahweh when we take up that state of mind. When we are willing to take any station in the work of Yahweh, it's showing honor to Yahweh. The sense here is they were to put on humility as a garment bound fast to them, as a servant bound fast to him the apron that was significant of his station. So these are the things that we have to bear in mind. This is what it's talking about. You know, when you come to the house of Yahweh, and when you're part of the work of Yahweh, it's that willingness to fulfill any role, any position that you assign. That's showing humility. And it's something that you have to keep with you. It's not just something that you demonstrate when you are new to the house of Yahweh, or you have just been here for a couple years in the house of Yahweh. No, it's something that has to remain with you as long as you are part of the house of Yahweh. It's a forever thing. You know, this is not going to change. You know, we're not going to enter into Yahweh's kingdom and after a few short weeks start giving Yahweh our ideas on how the kingdom should be run. That's just not going to occur. You know, we could see how ridiculous it is, but when we are put to the test in the house of Yahweh, when it comes to the work and to the administration, that's where the difficulty arises. Because, I mean, frankly, it's easy for us to do the things which we are in agreement with, right? If you're given a job and you like the job, there's no problem. You're in agreement with it. But the problem comes in when we are told to do certain things and we don't like what we're being told to do. Or even worse yet, we don't like the one who is telling us the thing to do. That's where we have the problems at times in humbling ourselves and in having that humility. But regardless of what we're being told to do, regardless of who the one that is telling us to do whatever we need to do, we still have to have that attitude of humility, that mindset. You know, and this is something that if we don't develop that, well, then the rest of this verse says, be clothed with humility, for Yahweh resists the proud. And I'm not going to be speaking too much about pride today, but just to get into our minds of this word proud in this particular verse is word number 5244, and it means, from 5228, appearing above others, conspicuous, appearing above others. Word number 5244 in Thayer's Greek dictionary, it says, showing oneself above others, overtopping, conspicuous above others, preeminent. You know, and this is telling us of, you know, how we should consider ourselves. Everyone, you know, whether you have a supervisory position or not, you still have to have that attitude of humility, not to give that appearance. Number two, it says, with an overweening estimate of one's means or merits. And this word merit simply refers to what you think you deserve. I'm deserving of this, or I'm deserving of that. Despising others, or even treating them with contempt, haughty. That's the word pride. And of course, this is something that we cannot have in order to develop that humility, in order to have on that garment of humility that we have to be clothed with. Because remember again, everything that we do, it's going forth to the heavenly courts. Everything. Our thoughts, our actions, our attitudes, it's all being received by Yahshua. And of course, Yahshua is presenting this to the heavenly courts. Now, Yahshua, our most honorable high priest, he had the state of heart, the state of mind, and he always submitted to the work of Yahweh. You cannot find any place where Yahshua did not submit to what Yahweh wanted him to do or to the will of Yahweh. Let's turn to Yochanan chapter 13. Yahshua set the perfect example of what it means to be clothed with humility. And I think all of us would agree that the work that Yahshua had to submit to, it was really tough. You know, being threatened all the time, his life being sought many times, and then finally to sacrifice himself or to be nailed to the stake, that was part of the work that Yahshua had to fulfill, and he fulfilled it. But in doing so, and this is something that we cover before Passover at Yahshua's memorial, Yahshua set an example for us, and we will see how he was totally clothed with humility. So let's look at Yochanan chapter 13, reading verses 4 and 5. He got up from supper and laid aside his tallit. Then he took a towel and tied it around himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, then began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had tied around himself. Okay, so you have that image of what Yahshua did. So this is Yochanan 13:4. And look at that word towel. It's word number 3012 in Strong's Greek Dictionary. And the word 3012, it's a linen cloth. That is apron, towel. So this is something that Yahshua tied around himself. But notice the humility. Remember what we covered in 1 Kefa chapter 5, verse 5, concerning this word clothe, because it gives that same thing of tying that apron around. Now notice this word occurs only two times in the King James Version, word number 3012 that is translated towel, and verses 4 and 5 is the only two places that you will find that word towel. Now in Thayer's definition, again it shows it's a linen cloth, towel, of the towel or apron with which servants put on when about to work. But that apron, you know, that towel, it's a state of mind. It's a state of heart that is being spoken of. It's not just an act or a show. It is something that someone is genuinely doing, wanting to serve others. And that's the example that Yahshua set here. You know, he put this towel on, this apron on, and notice that it's of linen. And that's emphasized, it's a linen towel or apron. And he began to wash his disciples' feet. Let's look at verse 12. After he had washed their feet, he put his tallit back on and sat down again. Then he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and leader, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Since I then, your leader and teacher, have washed your feet, you are also bound in obligation to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you do as I have done for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, the servant is not greater than his ruler, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you understand these things, joyful are you when you do or practice them, as Pastor made mention of." But let's look at verse 14 and the side notes where it says, "Since I then, your leader and teacher, have washed your feet, you're also bound in obligation to wash one another's feet." Side note G1 says, "To serve one another." Side note W1 says, "He designed to teach them the great lesson of humble Ahab, as well as to confer inward purity upon them. And hereby he teaches us, one, in every possible way to assist each other in attaining that purity." Now remember when I was reading Revelation chapter 19, where it talks about they were arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. That word clean could also be translated pure. That's part of the definition of the word clean. It's also pure. So, in every possible way to assist each other in attaining that purity, to wash each other's feet by performing all sorts of great offices to each other, even those of the lowest kind, when opportunity serves and the necessity of any calls for them. You know, there should be no work of Yahweh that is beneath anybody. There shouldn't be a job in the house of Yahweh where you say, "You know what, I can't do that. You need to find somebody else to do it. That's beneath me. You know, find some PM somewhere else, you know, who could get this job done because I have more important things to do." That should never be our attitude when it comes to the work of Yahweh. You know, yes, I know, depending upon your responsibility, sometimes you can't get to everything that is thrown at you, but it should never be the attitude of, "Well, this is below me. I can't do that job. Find somebody else because I'm just way too important or way too skillful. You know, this is just belittling my skills if you were to ask me to do this particular thing." Again, that's the attitude of pride. That's not having the humility of mind that we're being asked to put on or to wear, as is being shown in the scriptures, the same attitude that Yahshua had. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21, because again, Yahshua is the perfect example of it. The one sent, Yisrael Hawkins, he is also a perfect example of humility. I don't have the time to really get into that aspect of it, but I want you to keep that in mind because, you know, Pastor has shown that he is willing to do anything for the house of Yahweh. Any work for the house of Yahweh. And not just willing, he has done it. You know, he literally has done it. He has built the house of Yahweh. He has done everything that you could possibly think of pertaining to the work, and he continues to do so in the capacity that Yahweh has appointed him to serve. But let's get back to Yahshua, because Yahshua had this humble mindset. And read in Matthew chapter 21, and let's look at verses 2 through 5. And Yahshua said, said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and at once you will find a donkey and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you will say, 'The teacher has need of them,' and immediately he will send them. All this was done to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, saying, 'Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is just and having salvation.' And notice his state of heart and mind: lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Turn to Zechariah chapter 9, because this is where the scripture is quoted. Zechariah chapter 9, and reading verse 9. Zechariah chapter 9 and reading verse 9. And here we find the same thing. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. Now, this is a, and if you think about it, this is a really uplifted position, being a king. But again, notice the attitude of Yahshua. Behold, your king comes to you. He is just, having salvation, but he is not proud. He is not lifted up because he has salvation to offer. He doesn't have that attitude. His attitude is one of humility. He is humble. He is lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This word, lowly, it's word number 6041 in Strong's Hebrew Dictionary. It means depressed in mind or circumstances. Depressed in mind or circumstances. And this word depressed, it's not talking about depression. I wanted to make that clear. You know, Yahshua wasn't suffering from depression, but it's how he considered himself. It's how he looked at himself in a very humble way. Even though he knew all these prophecies pertained to him, it was his mindset, his heart set. It wasn't lifted up because of it. He was very humble because of it. So depressed in mind or circumstances, humble, lowly. And that is coming from 6035. It means depressed, figuratively, in mind, gentle, humble, lowly, and meek. So this is how Yahshua came forth to the people in a very humble manner. And again, you could find a lot of parallels with the one sent. He comes forth in that same manner, in a very humble way. You know, not lifted up with you know, having certain airs about himself or anything like that. Because, you know, I was kind of trying to imagine this in my mind. You know, Yahshua riding in, and I've never ridden on an animal, far less trying to ride on two. You know, so I would think that, you know, Yahshua would probably have his hands full trying to ride on two donkeys at the same time. Of course, Pastor has shown what that represents. You know, those two donkeys, one donkey represents the work of the disciples, and the donkey's colt represents who? Yeah, it represents us. But notice how Yahshua is working with us in a very humble manner. In a very humble manner. You know, one of the first speaker that spoke, you know, he touched upon humility within his presentation, Deacon Barzilai. And there's a lot there when it talks about that attitude of mind, the meekness, the gentleness, the type of disposition that we need to have in order to show that humility. But again, it's in relation to the work. That's really the most important thing. It's how we work together, the type of mindset, the type of attitude that we have in relating to one another, and it's that of humility. Now, reading from dictionary.com concerning the word humility. See if I could straighten it out here. It's the quality or condition of being humble, modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance, rank, etc. And again, it's talking about how we think of ourselves. And then the word humble, it means not proud, not arrogant, modest, low in rank, importance, status, quality, etc. Lowly, like Yahshua described him as being lowly. It means to lower in condition, importance, or dignity, abase, to make meek, to humble one's heart. And again, this is how we should relate to one another, because, you know, when we have that humble attitude and we serve one another with that attitude, it makes the work so much easier for all of us. For all of us. It's just so much easier, because if you know you could ask someone to do anything and they'd be willing to do it, you know, that's just so easy, as opposed to, could I ask them to do this? How are they going to respond? Are they going to cop an attitude? Would I have to spend 10, 15 minutes trying to convince them to do it? Is it really worth the effort? Do I really need it done that bad? You know, this is, you know, when we put that strain on one another like that, it makes it hard for us to work together and to develop the Ahab that is being spoken of by the previous priest. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, because again, it's referring to what we need to put on, what we need to be clothed with, what we need to wear. And we'll be reading verse 12. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. In the wrong scripture. Yeah? It says, "Therefore, as the elect of Yahweh, holy and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind," and that word humbleness of mind is humility, "meekness, long-suffering," but again, it's something that we have to put on, something that we have to be clothed with. Just as when we put on that apron and servitude to one another, this is what we must wear. This is what we must have. We'll move this back from the microphone. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. And just remember again that as we started at the very beginning of this presentation, that we are getting ready for the marriage supper, that we're being told to, you know, it shows those who are chosen will be wearing, the virgins who are chosen are going to be wearing that linen, clean and white. And again, that white refers to that state of mind as Pastor brought forward. Reading Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, and this will be the last scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, it says, "Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have and hold humility, by which we might serve Yahweh acceptably with reverence and awe." So Yahweh bless the understanding. I'll ask for everyone to please stand. Now turn it over to the next speaker for closing prayer.